Well, speaking of the Word, we're in the Word tonight in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And before we read the passage, again, the setup of this message is, the question tonight is, how self-aware are you? Do you have a conscious understanding of your spiritual type? You say, what are you talking about? You'll know in just a second. Do you have an awareness of what type of person you are? And we're going to look at that in these verses. First, let me remind you of the preface of this book, 1 Corinthians. The Apostle Paul had been living among these people in this early church for about 6 years. So when you live with someone for 6 years, you learn a lot about them. And he knew a lot about this church, the church being the blood-bought, the redeemed, the body of Christ. He knew a lot about them. He knew that the church had a lot of fractions to it, had a lot of divisions. Some of those divisions were based on immaturity and selfishness. And some of those were based on just flat-out immorality. And there were divisions that related to a marriage and lawsuits and eating food once sacrificed to idols. In many ways, this church was a mess. But Paul was gracious in his writing, but he was very practical and pointed in what he shared with the church. He understood, the Apostle Paul did, that if most of his preaching was to unspiritual people, but his preaching was about spiritual things, that it was not going to go over very well. He understood that. If he talked about the things of God with the people who A, didn't know God, or B, knew him but were indifferent toward him, it was not going to be what God wanted. And so he addressed these individuals. And he says, as is true of all churches and even to this day, there are three types of people in the church. There's the natural man, man meaning man, men and women, the natural man. There's the spiritual man, and there's the carnal man. And many of you have read and studied and labored in teaching this verse, and some of you have heard it preached, but these verses in 1 Corinthians I want us to look at tonight, and I want us to see some diagrams that we'll have up in just a minute in our PowerPoint. But, you know, as important as it is that we know our blood type, and I remember back in college I was giving blood. In fact, I was kind of one of those poor students in seminary where I sold my platelets down in Memphis. If my mom had known that, it'd be like, really? You did that? So yeah, and so we know our blood type, right? So mine is A positive. And so as much as it's important we know our blood type, it's more so important that we know the type of person we are in relation to God. So let's look at our passage. We're in chapter 2. We'll start off with verse 12. Let's read that. We have not received the spirit of the world. Now, by the way, that world means cosmos. Just like Romans 12:2, be no longer conformed to the pattern of this world. We're talking about the world system. We've not received the spirit of this world system, but the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. We're talking to believers now, okay? He's freely given by His grace the Holy Spirit to us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the capital S, Holy Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. Here's the first type. The man without the Holy Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Just a couple pages earlier, and by the way, remember, these letters were not written in chapter and verse. Just a page or so earlier, he said, the preaching of the gospel is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those of us who are being saved, it's the power of God. Here he's making the distinction between the perishing, the natural man, and the saved. And here he says, the man without the Holy Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. And he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. You've heard the phrase or the thought of blinders. They're spiritually blinded. They just don't see it. They don't get it. How can they not get it? How can they not see it? They're natural. This is their natural condition. This is who they are. Then he says in verse 15, there's a second type, the spiritual man. Okay, verse 14, the man without the Spirit, that's the natural man. Verse 15, the spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we, brothers and sisters, we have the mind of Christ. And then he goes on in chapter 3, which again, there weren't chapter divisions then, but this is the continuation of the same thought. Brothers, okay, writing to the saved, I could not address you as spiritual. Wait a minute, they're brothers, they're Christian. I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly. Your version may say carnal or fleshly. As mere infants in Christ, I gave you milk, not solid food, for you are not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there's jealousy and quarreling among you, you are not worldly? Question mark. Are you not worldly? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere men? In fact, he amplifies, and we can say that the writer of Hebrews is unknown. Many would, and I would agree with this, that it is the Apostle Paul. But he says in Hebrews 5, verse 11, about this very topic, he says, for the word of God, I'm sorry, Hebrews 5, verse 11, yeah, there I am. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. This is Hebrews 5, 11. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us leave these elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity. What he's addressing here in these passages has to do with our spiritual type. You say, well, when I came to Christ, I wasn't looking to be typed. Well, listen, you're not being typed, but Paul is, he's lived with these people for 6 years, and he's recognizing there's something happening here. There's a fracturing of the believing church, some into the camp of spiritual, growing in maturity toward Christ, and the others are content to live carnally, fleshly, worldly. Their desires are selfish and immature at best, immoral, likely. And he's saying, this is not right. Like James said this morning, brothers, this isn't right. Now, he sets aside the first group of people. And by the way, let's pull up that first diagram on the PowerPoint slide, and that's the people who are natural. This is the natural person. I'm sorry, let's go to that slide that shows that Jay is outside the life. This is the natural person. They've got it up there. Okay, so here we go. Here's a person where Jesus is outside the life. This person is, we could call, far from God. The Bible calls them lost. Jesus said, I came to seek and to save the lost. This is a person who has not trusted Christ. They've rejected Jesus as Savior. So who controls this life? Well, the Apostle Paul says, well, it's the default is self. If Jesus isn't in the life, the default of who's going to lead this life is the person, the self, the selfish person. And that's what he's saying. He's saying this person in the past has not trusted Christ. This person in the present is not trusting, actively trusting Christ. And this person in the future, well, Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But that's just a possibility. If they never act on Jesus being the appointed and anointed one, the Messiah, if they reject Jesus continually, that Jesus will be outside that life forever until the great white throne judgment. Self is on the throne of that life. That is the typical natural man. I mentioned 1 Corinthians 1:18, preaching of the cross is foolishness to these people. Do you not know neighbors like this? Do you not know coworkers like this? Do you not know family members like this? Sadly, do you not know friends like this? Sadly, you may know a spouse or someone very close to you like this. It's foolishness. I can't believe you go for that stuff. Are you really that dumb? That's this person. They don't recognize the things of God because they're undiscernible to them. They don't get it. Now, they're to be pitied, perhaps, but truthfully, they have come under the hearing many times in a service like this. And there may be some here tonight. We would never say this is a person that's an awful person. We love these people. God loves these people. They're just far from Him, yet they are right now. This is the natural man. Romans 2:5 speaks about this natural man, and it says this, but because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the days of God's wrath. That's hard to accept when you've got a loved one that's doing that. That's hard to accept, but that's the natural man. Romans 9, verse 1 says, again, about the natural man. I speak the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience confirms it in the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ. What he's saying is, I want you to be saved. I wish I could be cut off. I wish I could be cut off. What he's saying is, that's how much I yearn for you, but you remain in your natural state. You remain far from God. Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. Who believes? And some people choose not to believe. Karen and I could tell you stories of visiting with our family over the decades. It's amazing the love and the acceptance and the respect that we gain from them, but the wall that is up. It's just simply amazing that there's a point to which they will not go past. My stepbrother, Keith, remember when my daddy died, my mom remarried a couple years later, there were four children in our family and three boys in their family. We had seven kids, and I had three stepbrothers, and Keith's the one that's closest to me in age. And after my brother Larry died in 89, and we were at the funeral, and then after Woody, his dad, died in 91, and then after Mark had died earlier, who's his brother, and we just talked. I said, Keith, I can honestly tell you, I know what Larry said about Jesus. He knew him. And I know what Mark said, because at a coffee house gospel share, he said he raised his hand. Now, I don't know. I'm not trying to get comfort for myself here, but I think Mark said yes to Jesus. I talked to Woody. This is my stepdad. This is his dad. And Woody said, yes, he did that in Indiana back when he was. I said, Keith, have you done that? And you know what Keith's reply has always been, and I love him. You're a good man, B. You know what that says? I don't go for it. I'm not going for it. And I can say that's okay, but it's almost like the Apostle Paul that said, I wish I could be accursed for him, but I can't. That's the state of the natural man. That's the person who is far from God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, thanatos, the Greek word for cut off. You're cut off from God. Well, that's the natural man. That's the man without the Spirit. And we need to know, is that our type? And honestly, the question tonight is, are you self-aware? Do you have a conscious understanding of the reality of your life? Which type are you? Well, the second type he addresses as the spiritual man. Back in our passage, this is found in verse 15. And he says here, the spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. We have the mind of Christ. He's not labeling this man here to give him undue regard or undue reputation. He's not doing this so that any of us could ever boast. If you're a spiritual man tonight, man or woman, it's by God's grace that you've been saved, and it's by God's grace that you've been kept, and you are a Philippians 1:6 Christian journeying this way. I'm confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you, salvation, will continue to complete it, maturity, until the day of Christ Jesus, glory. That's the path you're on. And it's by God's grace that you even have an interest in doing that. So we need to set the table here that this is a place of humility, not a place of this. Wow. Of all those three, I'm this one. No, that's not what this is about. Let's look at the diagram, and this is the one where Jesus Christ is on the throne. Self is still in the life. Remember, Jesus said, the Apostle Paul mentioned about the flesh, okay, this old nature that we carry around with us that wars against the Spirit. So in this spiritual man's life, man or woman, Jesus is on the throne. Jesus is lifted up high. This is Jesus' proper position, and the spiritual person acknowledges that. But guess what? The self is not outside the life. Folks, that diagram would be heaven. Where Jesus is on the throne and self is outside the life, This is not heaven. And the type of person that Paul's talking about here is a spiritual man or woman who recognizes their flesh and the limitations of it, and they trust Jesus in it, and they lift Jesus up. This is a spiritual man. In the past, this person has been saved. In the present, they're trusting Jesus. And in the future, they're that Philippians 1:6, laboring to grow in maturity until that day of glory. That's this person. They're saved and led by the Spirit. This is not a sinlessly perfect person. This is not a person who would win the prize at the best Christian contest. This is a humble, meek person who recognizes their life is no longer their own. They've been bought with a price. This is the spiritual man. And I don't even want to say this is who we should aspire to, because this is the process of humility and leading of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, who indwells every true believer but not controlling every believer, is wanting to have free sway in your life and mine. And to the extent that we allow Him to have that, oh God, please, these are the things that I'm contending with. You know it and I know it. I have a real problem with these things. Selfishness, immaturity, carnality, worldly lusts, pleasures, temptations. These are real situations in my life. I'm contending with these every day. And God, I need your Spirit to fill me mightily. I confess to you what I know immediately of my sin. I thank you for the cross and for forgiveness there, but I want to thank you also for filling me with your Spirit so the control of my life is yours. This is a spiritual person. Again, they're not to be praised. These people would never praise themselves. The spiritual person. We can read about this person in Romans 8 in verses 1 and 2. And I'm going to just share that verse with you as I turn there. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. This is a person, the spiritual man, who's been set free. Set free. Because they were in bondage, right? The chains were there. They were definitely in bondage. And this is someone who's broken loose by the power of God. This is the saved man. Romans 10, 11 and 13. Whoever trusts in Him will never be disappointed. And whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. That's this person trusting. In the past, they trusted Jesus. In the present, they're trusting Jesus. And in glory, they'll trust Jesus. And one day, they'll praise Jesus when that self comes out of that body, out of that life. And they're with Jesus, who, by the way, is going to be on the throne. And they'll be praising and bringing glory to Him forever and ever. That's the end journey for this spiritual man, this type of person. John 1, 11 through 13. He came into His own, Jesus did. And His own believed Him not and received Him not. But as many as did receive Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name. If you're a child of God tonight, if you're a saved person tonight, it's not because of what you've done. It's because of what Jesus has done for you. He has brought you into His family. You are adopted into His family. You are His child. We are friends with God because of what Jesus did on the cross. We were at odds with God. We were enemies of God. But because of what Jesus has done, we are friends of Him. That's the spiritual man. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by God's grace we're saved through faith. And that not of ourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. This is not a boasting person. This is a person giving glory to God. That's what makes singing songs about grace and hearing messages about grace so appetizing and so welcoming, because we recognize that's what happened to me. Oh God, thank you for pouring out your grace and mercy for me. You did that. I'm so grateful for that. That's the recognition of this person. And again, Ephesians 5, 18, be ye being filled with the Spirit. Keep on being controlled and influenced by the Holy Spirit. That is a command in Ephesians 5, 18. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. Why? Because we will forever and a day, until the day of glory, contend with the flesh. We will always contend and war with that old nature. And so instead of getting angry about that and wishing away that the flesh would just go away, because it won't, we just simply need to acknowledge we need to be filled with the Spirit. And that's what the spiritual man or woman does. By the way, this person is often very easy on other people, but hard on themselves. Now think about that. The spiritual man or woman is often easy on other people. Why? Because they've been saved by grace. They've seen the light. They understand the change. So they're hard on themselves, but they're easy on other people. Why? Because those other people are just like they were. You're more accommodating of that. You're more sensitive to that. You can empathize and sympathize with that. And so this person is often easy on others, but hard on themselves. Oh, I'll never measure up, God. I'll never measure up. I'm just not. And so this person tends to downplay the significance of their spiritual life. This person is active in God's work, active in God's church, active in praying, active in giving, active in serving, active in evangelizing. The gauges of spiritual maturity are there. The dashboard lights up when this person comes around. But that person doesn't see the dashboard light up, but others see it and God knows it. And that's the satisfying part of living this life, because it's pleasing, because it's fruitful. And this person is much indebted to God for that. Okay, so we've got the natural man. In the past, they've never trusted Christ. In the present, they're not trusting Christ. And in the future, they may or they may not. Then we have this second one, this spiritual man. In the past, by God's grace, they've trusted Christ. In the present, they are actively trusting Christ. In the future, they're going to continue to trust Christ and follow Him as best they know under the leadership of the Holy Spirit until glory. That's the spiritual man. But then, and we'll spend the remainder of our time here, there's what the Apostle Paul calls the carnal man. And let's look again at that passage in 1 Corinthians. And here we pick up in 1 Corinthians 3, and we pick up with verse 1. And he says, brothers, again, writing to the saved, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. Look, I've lived with you, guys. I've lived with you for 6 years. I know you. I'm not the Holy Spirit. I'm not the inspector of behavior. I'm not the one who points out your inconsistencies, but I've lived with you. I've seen your divisions. I've seen your rancor. I've seen your anger. I've seen your immaturity. I've seen your immorality. I've seen the divisions. I see it. I see you as still not ready for meat. You're only able to take the milk. You're not ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. That's got to be a frustrating statement. You're still worldly. For since there's jealousy and quarreling among you, you are not worldly? Are you not? Are you not acting like mere men? And so this one is diagrammed this way in our slide tonight. This is a person where Jesus Christ is where in relation to their life. Well, Jesus is in this life. Remember, he said brothers. So there's a brother. Jesus is in the life. But there's a brother or sister who has made a conscious decision, perhaps briefly or perhaps over an extended time, to what? To put Jesus lower and raise self higher. When we sing a song about Jesus be lifted up, that's not what this person's thinking. Now, they can sing those words, but the pattern of their life is that self is back on the throne. Remember the first slide where self was on the throne, but Jesus was outside the life? That's a perilous place. This is not a great place. This is not perilous because, again, this is a believer. So there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. But self is on the throne. Galatians chapter 5 and verses 16 and 17 talk about this very person. And the scripture says this, so I say then, live by the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit, capital S, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit. Now remember, this is the war that's going on with the believer, Jesus in the life, and self on the throne. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Romans 7, 18 through 20. Just giving you a couple verses to amplify the three types. And here's Romans 7 in verses 18 through 20. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. This is the Apostle Paul. For I have the desire to do what is good. By the way, you need to thank God every day that you have the desire to do what is good. You ought to thank God every day that you even have the holy ambition to want to read His Word or to sing songs and spiritual songs and hymns. You ought to thank Him every day that your life is not consumed with what is evil, but rather what is good. Believer, don't take that for granted. Do not take that for granted. There are people who terrorize themselves every day. They're tormented by their sin, and they're tormented by the evil that their mind races to. And you ought to just praise God every day that you have the desire to do what is good. But then he says, but I cannot carry it all out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. Now listen, we're all familiar with this. The world, the flesh, and the devil, those are three real obstacles in Christian living. The world or the world system, that's just part of where we are. We're not to conform any longer to it, but it sure pulls us to it. The world, the flesh, that's our very human base appetites for things, stuff, pleasure, things that are immoral and unsightly and unbecoming of a Christian. That we're drawn to that. The world, the flesh, and then, of course, there's our enemy, the devil, the father of lies, the author of confusion, the one who is a roaring lion and wants to devour us. We'd be silly tonight to talk about the carnal man or woman and not include these three very real difficulties of living the Christian life to the glory of God. We got to recognize them. I can't blame any one of those three for my own willingness to sin. I'm not going to do that. And God doesn't want any of us to blame something else. Oh, that was Satan. Or that's just my flesh. Or I wish the world weren't so compelling. No, that doesn't work. It's God, I'm sorry. I've sinned. I've done wrong. I am not right here. Please help me. That's that 1 John 1:9, by the way, the Christian bar of soap. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's His promise to us. This is the carnal person. Lastly, Romans 8, 5 through 8. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. Boy, that is so true. Let me read that again. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit, is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. This carnal man or woman, this is a perilous place. They are saved, yes, but they are carnal. And it's the teaching in the whole of Scripture that carnal people don't stay carnal for a lifetime. Carnal people can be carnal for a time, not a lifetime. And the Bible's very clear about this teaching. Because some of us as parents and some of us as grandparents, we want to say, well, she's just carnal. Wait a minute. For 10 years, blah, 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 blah. She's just carnal. Or, well, I think he's just carnal. He knows the Lord. Jesus is in his life. He's just living for himself right now. Okay. So we pray for repentance, we pray for restoration, we pray for God to do a mighty work. That may be someone you know well, it may be yourself. This carnal Christian is a frustrated Christian. This carnal Christian is an irritated, unhappy Christian. You notice them. You see them. You may live with them. Peter Lord, who was a pastor down in Titusville, Florida, said, "The most miserable man or woman in the entire world is not a lost person. It's not the person living far from God. It's the person who has come to Christ and is living an indifferent and carnal, fleshly life. That's the miserable person." And I believe that is absolutely true. A carnal Christian is unwilling to accept that the source of their frustration and the source of their unhappiness is themselves. That's a hard one. It's me. That's a hard one. That's the carnal Christian. That's why this person is often easy on themselves and hard on others. Just the opposite of the spiritual person. The spiritual person is hard on themselves. Oh, I don't measure up. I'm not worthy. But easy on others. I was where you were. I understand. Empathy. But no, not the carnal person. They're hard on other people. And you know why? Because they're revealing that they themselves are walking away from God. Not with God, but away from God. So they're easy on themselves. Well, I still do this, and I still do that, and I can give you gauges of my spiritual. If you wanted some, I can give you some of those. I know I'm on the right path, but they're hard on other people. Well, I can't believe you did that, when in fact this same person is doing some of those very things. This is the wickedness of carnal Christian living. And carnal Christians are hurting people, and hurting people often hurt other people. You can't be around a carnal Christian long before strife comes up and conflict comes up and the inability to get along comes up. And that's a major indicator of a carnal Christian. Again, verse 3 of chapter 3. Are you not acting like mere men? And verse 3 says, you're still worldly. There's jealousy and quarreling among you. And so Paul's identifying, again, a major indicator of a carnal Christian is there's always some turmoil and conflict. And by the way, loving Christian mom and loving Christian dad and grandma and grandpa, if you ever were to enter into a discussion, I'd say be prayed up before you ever enter into it. I'd say look for an opening. Ask God to open a way for you to discuss this in a not accusatory way, because I guarantee you Satan will use this for the bad. And it will further, for many of you, damage your relationship that may already be perilous, but you want to improve it and you want to speak truth, but you just have to pray that God will give you wisdom on how to address this. Honey, there's so much more for you. I want God's best for you, and I don't see that happening right now in your life. Is there any way I can help? What can I pray with you about? The whole of the Bible teaches that a Christian can be, for a time, carnal, but that no Christian will remain carnal for a lifetime. I need you to hear that tonight. As long as we're in these fleshly bodies, there will be outbreaks of carnality. 1 John 1:8, if we say we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. There's going to be outbreaks of carnality as long as we're in these fleshly bodies. But these outbreaks will be the exception and not the rule. Please hear me. What type are we? That's the message tonight. Not others. I know some of you are thinking of others right now, and I understand that. I've even addressed that. But what type are you? Spiritual, natural, or carnal? Listen, Hebrews 12:5 talks about God loving us so much that he disciplines those he loves. So here's another way of saying, okay, that's a hallmark of a believing person who's in a perilous relationship, because they're trusting the flesh and not the spirit. So we read again in Hebrews 12 and verse 5, and these words. Okay, it's hiding from me, but it's there. Hebrews 12 and verse 5. That's what I didn't find in 11. Okay, Hebrews 12 and verse 5. And here's what it says. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. Do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. In other words, you ought to welcome that. If you know you're walking away from God and you're in Christ, you ought to welcome that He loves you, and this chastisement or discipline is not eternal punishment or condemnation. It's simply guiding you skillfully back to Him. If you're not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you're illegitimate and not a true son. Moreover, we have all had human fathers when disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in His holiness. So the carnal Christian experiences discipline. Without discipline, if you're saying I'm carnal, as I've heard one of in our family say, I'm going to take a long break. Well, if you're taking a long break, and it's been a decade or more, you need to make sure you examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. Because we'll all have outbreaks of carnality, every one of us. And it's a mess when that happens, but that mess can be remedied by confession and forsaking of that and the forgiveness extended. But when you're living apart from God and you're seemingly not concerned about it, that's a red flag. Holy, a red flag. There's no question that God's love and God's desire is that saving us, we would progressively grow closer to Him, maturity. That we would become increasingly spiritual and decreasingly carnal. Again, a process we call sanctification, or just growing in maturity. One of the saddest results of carnal living is that those men and women have been saved long enough to be spiritual leaders and mentors, but instead they contribute little to the work of God. And that's really a loss for the church, if you think about it. Paul lived among these people for 6 years, so some of you are just the same as when I got here. Yeah, you're in Christ, but you're not able to this and this, and the church suffers because of that. So he's saying, grow up, carnal brother, grow up, carnal sister, grow up in Jesus. So who are you tonight? What is your type? Let's throw all three of them up at the same time. What is your type? Are you that upper left? Is Jesus outside of your life? And the default is yourself? You're going to live life for yourself? Are you that middle lower one where Jesus is in the life, but again, the default to self? Self is leading this life. Jesus is in the life, and there's a willingness to recognize that Jesus has saved me, past tense, but there's no ambition to trust Christ presently. And I don't know if there's any ambition to trust Christ in the future. But then there's that upper right. Yes, Jesus, come into my life. Make me the kind of person you want me to be. Be my Savior and my Lord. That's the boss. Jesus is on the throne. The self is still in the life, and until heaven, self will still be in this life. But that's the spiritual man or woman. What part are you? Natural, spiritual, or carnal? Last question, can you change? Good question. If that's my type, can I change my type? Can I go from natural to spiritual? Yes. Yes, you can go from natural to spiritual. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever believes and trusts in Him will never be disappointed. Yes. And 1,000 times yes, you can change. You can go from natural to spiritual. Can you go from spiritual to carnal? Sadly, yes, you can. Yes, you can. Can you go from carnal to spiritual? Yes, yes, thankfully you can. And the Bible talks about this, and Galatians 5:16 is a great text for this. It says, so I say then, you who know Christ, you live by the Spirit. You will not satisfy the desires of the sinful nature. You trust in the Holy Spirit to guide and direct your life. Let the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, in war with the flesh, let the Spirit have the victory. You can go from carnal to spiritual, but you have to confess, forsake, and you have to claim the forgiveness that Christ made one time on the cross. For Christ died once for all of your sin. The just one, the perfect one, Jesus, for the imperfect, the unjust, you and me. Last question. If you can change, can you go from carnal to natural? Carnal to natural. No, I don't think so. Can you go from spiritual to natural? I don't think so. Well, what do you mean you don't think so? Well, the testimony is this. This is the record that God has given to us forever life. And this life is in Jesus. He that has Jesus has forever life. But he that does not have Jesus does not have this forever life. These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God, in order that you might know that you have forever life. Once you are genuinely saved and Jesus is in your life, you cannot go from being carnal to being natural. You can't go from being spiritual to being natural. You can't lose something that you didn't gain, but God gave it to you by his grace, and that's your salvation. Your salvation cannot be lost. So no, you can't change and go back to being a natural person. But what about these people that I know? Or I have a dear friend whose son seems to have, and then they talk about this story. So do you think he's saved? Folks, all we can do is apply what Scripture teaches to our life. What's our type? We can all day long figure out whether someone else is saved. But if we don't know, the best thing we can do is to actively pray for that person and encourage them and love them. And don't judge them, because the very thing they're looking at is the judgmental person. They do not want to be judged. They're being judged if they're carnal, because God is doing what? He's disciplining them. So they're feeling the heat. Don't add to that. Let the Spirit of God work that out in their life. Which type are you? How about your spouse? How about your child, grandchild, neighbor, coworker? There's plenty tonight in this message to pray about for sure. And I believe there's plenty tonight in this message to act upon. And that could be us tonight as we wrap up this message. What is God saying to you about your type? And do you need to do anything about that? Let God know how grateful you are for his mercy and his saving grace. And every day you ought to thank God, as I do. Thank you, Jesus, that I even have the desire to want to talk to you and love you and follow you. I don't do it well. I do not. And for that, I'm ashamed. But that I even have the desire to say that. Thank you, Jesus, that you're working in my life. I pray the same for you as you walk through this week. And I pray the same as you continue to contend with the faithful and the faithless in your home and in your neighborhood and in your circle of friends at work and in your friendships. Let's stand. Father, I thank you tonight for your word. I thank you tonight that we can look at what type we are, that we can be aware, self-aware. Thank you, Jesus, that we can have a conscious understanding of where we are in you. I pray tonight if there's one who, or several ones who looked at that and thought, that's me. I've never really given it to Christ. I've never really given my life to him. And so I understand now why everything I do is kind of selfish, because self is on the throne. And Jesus, I need you. So I pray tonight if there's one here who needs you, Jesus, that they'll call out to you and they'll call upon you and they'll even respond during this time of invitation. I pray for those who are here tonight and understand what a carnal Christian is, what that looks like. And I pray for the ones who want to be that spiritual man or woman. Again, not perfect. In fact, we're hardest on ourselves because we seem like we're not worthy. But we're easy on others because we know what we came from and we know how hard it was. So I pray tonight for those here tonight who've come to Christ. Maybe they're still new in their faith. Maybe they're still in that infant stage. Lord, they can grow up. Thank you for small groups. Thank you for support groups. Thank you for friends. Thank you for preaching. Thank you for teaching. Thank you for the willingness of people to come and fellowship and to surrender and sing songs and be in the koinonia fellowship of God. And I pray for that tonight, that growth would continue. You. Help us, Lord. We need you. Oh, Lord, we need you. So I pray right now for any decision that you would want and that we would ask that to happen in Jesus' strong name. Amen.